We are continuing in our fall theme, Growing Together, and we're listening for the ways in which our ancestors and Scripture have used that language of growth, maybe less or more directly, depending on things, as the pattern of the growth and nurture of the Christian community as it came to be. So as I said, from here on out, I'm going from the ground up, and so today I want to talk about roots. As I said, your roots can teach you wonderful things, and they are parts that often lie hidden. But they are the source of much that gives us life. So today we're going to hear from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And the church in Corinth, which Paul established, has continued to worship and to grow in his absence. At this point, he is far away. They have found another teacher in their midst, a person named Apollos. Now it seems that differences are arising. Some differences and some straight-up disputes and some arguments. Some people who believe that Apollos' teaching supersedes Paul's. Some who feel that Paul's teaching maybe doesn't provide the answers that they are searching for. And so Paul writes to them, maybe to try and comfort them or to explain himself a little bit, and also to challenge them to look beyond the teachers. And so listen for these words of Scripture.
This morning's reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the third chapter, the first through the ninth verses. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. So endeth the reading, and may God add his blessing of understanding. Amen.
So a question. Who taught you how to be Christian? It almost naturally begs the second question, which is, what did they teach you that it meant to be Christian? So to the first question, let me just start by saying that I'm thankful that they taught you. For the second, I guess I want to say how thankful I am that none of those two answers are the same. It is never that simple an answer to what does it mean to be Christian. The easiest one we often go with is love your God with all your heart and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But it gets more complicated, doesn't it? And so we all have our answers to those questions. I'm thankful for those people who taught you, not least because apparently whatever they taught you that it mattered to belong to a community of faith. And so despite the fact I would probably talk to myself this much on a Sunday no matter what I did, I don't have to. For here you are. And even more, I give thanks to the Holy Spirit between us, because that means that somehow this conversation between us becomes a bunch more than just words that I have thought of during the week. Whoever those people are in your life, they made a difference in your life and in my life and in our life. A whole bunch of people, in fact. A small thing nurtured just right can turn into something much bigger when it grows. So your roots made you strong enough to make it to this point in your life. Just as I said to the kids, the system worked. Here you are. Thanks be to God and whoever taught you for this moment, at the very least. Of course, we recognize the variety of ways in which you have been taught and brought up in the faith. It is a wondrous kind of variety. In this case, today, the Corinthians are all kind of in a tizzy because they have had multiple teachers. And it turns out all the answers in the instructor's guide do not all match. First they had Paul, and now they have Apollos, and suddenly everything is not fitting together all neatly. Some of them are doing that age-old developmental task of realizing that the people who first brought you up, maybe your parents, maybe your most beloved teacher, maybe your first pastor, they might have taught you the 101 class, but like as it turns out, this whole life thing is a PhD program. Parents know this one, right? What do we teach? I will keep you safe. You are perfect as you are. Those are the right things to teach. And they are sometimes wondrous and impossible promises that we make in trying to raise and love one another. So it was with Paul. He apparently taught them in the beginning, simply, he says, with milk rather than solid food. And now apparently has come the middle, and things have gotten complicated, and some of those answers that he gave them, well, they need deepening, maybe. And some feel betrayed, and some feel like he is a fraud, and some feel like he didn't give them the whole picture. Some feel like maybe now Apollos has all the answers. And so the fights have begun. The quarrels, I think, is what our scripture said today. That word in Greek, actually, is heres. We get a word from it. Heresy. That word does not mean false. It does not mean wrong. It means difference. Difference has broken out in the church. I don't want to say every difference in life is life-giving. There are lots of systems of our roots that have gone rotten from time to time. I was reminded recently that our seminaries here in New England, Andover Newton and Yale, are both together marking, I can't say celebrating, they are marking the bicentennial of the first New England missions to Hawaii. There were parts of that mission that were about love and sharing the gospel, but there are much more that were about colonialism and oppression, removing people from their homes, not all of our roots give us life. And those differences in our roots can be a source of tension or a kind of weakening of our oneness. And that's a lot of what Paul is talking about today. If you've ever seen a plant where the roots have all just kind of compacted in, need a bigger pot for your plant, need to repot? It's not a way to get enough life. They kind of get all tangled up. But we do need difference. We need those roots to spread out. The strongest tree will have roots that spread widely in different directions, seeking out many sources of nourishment and building a strong structure. On Thursday, I went to an event put on by the National Movement of the Poor People's Campaign. And I give thanks to Jim Gertmanian for bringing that event to our attention here. The Poor People's Campaign was a movement that was actually begun by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. shortly before he was assassinated, recognizing that some of the deepest issues in our national life were around poverty and that it affected a much wider swath of our common life than we often think of. So we all got a chance to hear one of the leaders of this movement, the Reverend Dr. William Barber. And he began by giving thanks for the tradition from which he has come. And he lifted up those words from the letter to the Hebrews. Since we have been giving a ministry that does not shrink back, he talked about the courage to stand. Talked about how thankful he was to come from a tradition that had taught him how to stand like that and stand strong, how not to shrink back in the face of systemic racism or poverty or the political and economic forces that benefit from those structures. Turns out, if you're going to stand against all that, you need some structure. And our tradition can be a source of that. I want to go ahead and say that every single one of the traditions that founded this church that we're sitting in today was heretical at some point. You just have to know that, right? Different enough to have to branch off in some new direction as people were kind of horrified with where we had landed. But the distance and the variety of those roots is part of what has made us strong. You need deep roots and wide to thrive. You need to find the nutrients, and you need to not starve other parts of yourself. And if you've ever walked around after a hurricane, well, you know what happens to trees if you grow wide but never deep, and deep but never wide. Here in this church, we were founded by the Methodist Church, splintered off from the Church of England, on the radical idea that the intimate practice of prayer and the study of Scripture together with one another, that we could all be sanctified, that is, drawn closer into the heart and life of Jesus and God. Our congregational ancestors in the United Church of Christ staked all they had on the wild notion that not only those practices of prayer and Scripture, but indeed the very practices of living together, of sharing life itself within the beloved community of what they called the visible saints. Did you know you're a visible saint? That those visible saints could lead us toward God, and that indeed was enough to guide us toward God, rather than any bishop who had been appointed by a king. So great was their belief that they gave up everything they had and they crossed an ocean. Our German evangelical and reformed ancestors in the UCC, without any educated clergy to come over and be a part of their churches and their schools here, started the first free public schools in this country. Through their belief that learning and education led to a more full and faithful life of opportunity and of exploring in the Spirit. We are because they were. We have learned to pray together and to live together and to learn together from them and to take courage, to stand strong, to find hope in each other. The roots are different, but God gave the growth just the same. So I give thanks to God for that growth and the roots they grew deep into our tradition and our people. And so I want to say, in a season when we are asking you to consider how you share of your life and your gifts here, I want to suggest to you that those gifts are not just about today. It is not always fun to kind of keep the church as we know going. The fundraiser appeal to clear the gutters would probably not succeed too well on its own. Often we think about, you know, the costs of various ministries and staff and things like that, but those are not just numbers. They are part of how we keep this thing going and have been keeping it going for thousands of years so that we might share in this life and grow and learn together. One of my colleagues, the Reverend Quinn Caldwell, wrote about this a number of years ago, and it has stuck with me. He talked about all the ways in which we do keep the story going, keep inviting people into this life of faith through all of the kind of, you know, not very exciting ways of being church. But nonetheless, it's how we do it and how we pass it on. He called his reflection a prayer for the institutionalized, so you can tell that we would get along. He said this: the reason you know anything about the faith is that once upon a time, somebody in the Jesus movement realized they needed to set up a system to pass the faith on to the future. And they poured themselves into the resulting institution. Institutions don't sound exciting, but they're necessary. He says, I'm not saying every committee meeting the church has ever held mattered. Most of them didn't. I'm saying that all institutions are annoying, and the church is the one that brought your faith to you. So he invites you, when you're feeling ground down by the business of keeping things going, right after you refuse to chair another committee, but right before you decide to quit forever, just remember this: the work you are doing now is just as much for you and for other people's grandkids as it is for you today. They will be because we are. It is a blessing to know our roots, what has sustained us and nurtured us to life and grounds us in those storms of life that we know do come. Even more so, it is a blessing to know that we might be the root from which the faith and life grows in the years to come. So may God give us, each of us and all of us, that growth of the Spirit. Thanks be to God for all your roots and all the wondrous diversity of them, which have grown you to this place and this time. Amen.